Today's daf is daf chaf gimel. So we got to the last three lines of chaf bezim and beza. The Gemara is talking a lot about Shaul and David. So the Gemara says that Amar of Yehuda Marav mipnei mat nenas Shaul. What was the reason why Shaul was punished? Mipnei shemachal al kvod. He was mochal as kvod, and the din is better. Melach shemachal al kvod or ein kvod machal. The king has no right to be mochal as kvod. Why not? There's a big machlokas. The Marsha here writes, because since Kadosh Baruch Hu, really it's the covet of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a person's the king, he's representing somehow a Kadosh Baruch Hu. One has no right to be mochel that covet. Others, right, the Rishonim and the Sanhedrin, right, because his covet is actually the covet of Klai, so he has no right to be mochel on the covet of the nation. Either way, the din is a king cannot be mochel on his covet. And he was mochel on his covet, therefore he was punished. Where do we see that Shaul was mochel on his covet? So the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Tizen Shmuel Aleph, who's this guy going to save us? Who's this Shaul person? They disgraced him. They did not send him a gift. So they ignored him. They didn't really trust and believe in Shaul HaMelech. Uksivit says afterwards, there was a whole fight, and Shaul won the fight. At the end of the day, Shaul says, if you look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the page, Uksiv Vayal Nachasha Hamoni, Umaskana Demil. So the end of the story goes, Shamu Yisrael, the Klaiso says to Shaul, Miha Omer Shaul Yimlo Chalenu Hubitmiya. Who was the one who challenged Shaul's Malchus? These people were making fun of him. Tenu Hanashim Venamisim. You should kill the people who rebelled against, who didn't trust in you, kill them. For who Amar, Shaul says back, Lo Yumas Ish Hayomaz, and no one's going to die today. He didn't want to take revenge, and he was mochel on his kavod, and for that reason, he was punished. So now the Gemara says, very last line of Chav Beis, Amar Beis. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yishum, Rabbi Yotzadok, Kol Talmud Chacham, any Talmud Chacham, She'eno Nokem Venotir Kinachash, who does not take revenge like a snake, Eino Talmud Chacham. Meaning a Talmud Chacham is supposed to take revenge like a Nachash. A Nachash apparently takes revenge. So that's how a Chacham should take revenge if a person attacks his Kavod, if a person attacks the Torah. He needs to defend and stand up for the Torah. So the Hakshiv doesn't say the Pasuk Lo Sikov Lo Sitor. There's an Isser to have a Nakama. How could the Gemara here suggest that Talmud Chacham should have Nakama? So Gemara explains how Hu B'Mamon Hu Dechsiv. When is there an Isser to have Nakama and Natira? That with respect to Mamon. But with respect to the Kavod HaTorah, with respect to the Kavod HaTalmud Chacham, that it's mutter, that it's actually required to have Nekama and Netira. Where do you see that it has to do with Mamon, that the Isser, Nekama, and Netira is only with regards to Mamon? It says in the Pasuk, Dechsev, Detanya, Ezehi Nekima. What's Nekima ve'ezehi Netira? Nekima, Amrlo, Hishilani Megalcha, lend me your sickle or something, Amrlo, Lav? No. Lamacha, the next day, the neighbor turns to this other guy, Amrlo, who is Shilenu Kadimacha? So lend me your axe. Amrlo, Eini Mashilcha Kadech Shlo Hashilatani. You didn't lend me yesterday, I'm not going to lend it to you today. Zuhi Nakama, that's called revenge. Veizihi Natira, what's called Natira? Amrlo, Hishilani Kadimacha, lend me your axe. Amrlo, lo. Lamacha, the next day, Amrlo, Hishilani Chalukha, lend me your clothing. Amrlo, Hilach, here it is, but Eini Kimosha, I'm not like you. You don't lend it to me, but I'm better than you. You stick it to the guy. See, I'm going to be generous. I'll give it to you, even though you did not give it to me. That's Netira. So Netira and Nekama, or Nekima, are only having to do with money, with possessions. But with regards to the Kavod HaTorah, that's mutter, that's required, that's demanded by the Talmud Chacham. So Gemara says, V'tzar d'guf alo. Is it true when it comes to his own pain, his insult, a person is not subject to Nekama? You're allowed to do that? Is that true? Vatana, doesn't the Bryce say, Hanelavim ve'enon olvim, those who are disgraced but don't respond back. Shomin Kherpasan, they listen to their own disgrace, ve'enu mashiv, they don't respond back. Osim mi'ava, they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great love, usmechen b'yusurin, they're happy with all the pains and the affliction they get in this world. Alein akasav omer, about such a person, the Pasuk says in Shoftim, it says, ve'ohava, ohavava, kitseis Hashemes begvuroso. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is so happy with people who respond this way, that they have self-control, they stay quiet, and they just listen to the disgrace. So we see clearly that person should not take nekama. A person should not defend his own kavod, his own respect. So the Gemara says, Liolam denakale belibe. Really? We tell a person to hold it in your heart. You shouldn't give up. You should be upset. Don't say a thing. Don't act on it. But inside the heart, your emotions, you should feel upset. You should feel the nekama. You should feel the netir. So the Gemara says, really? You should hold in your heart? You should be upset at such a person who disgraces you, who makes fun of you? Doesn't Rava say, a person's mavin is midos, which means a person's mevater, he's mochel medaver, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in turn will be mochel on your averos. So it's a wonderful thing to be mochel mevater, to let slide, not to hold it, hold the grudge inside. So how could the Gemara here suggest a person should hold a grudge? So Gemara says, when it says ka'amavya midosa, that's referring to demifaiso lehimifais. When a person comes over and says, I'm sorry, he appeases you, then you're mochel bedavar, belave. But a person doesn't appease you. The person insults you, what you should do is don't respond back. You should hold the grudge in your heart somehow, but he comes ahead and he appeases you, he asks for forgiveness, then a person in a chanami should be mochel bedavar. Gemara now says, goes back to the Mishnah about the 21st finger, the pious between the Kohanim, he sticks out his finger. So, Mahin Motzin Achas Oshtayim. The Kohen either sticks out one or two fingers, and there's a whole circle like we discussed yesterday. So, Hashta Shtayim Motzin Achas Mibay. Why don't you stick out two fingers? Why would you stick out one finger? Certainly, your chances are greater if you put out two fingers than if you only put out one finger. So, why is it one or two? So, Amir Rav Chista, Rav Chista explains, Lo Kasha, there's no contradiction. Kan Bibari, Kan Bechol. One's with a person who's strong, and one person's with a weak person. People who are very old sometimes can't stick out just one finger alone. The other finger's like dragged along with it, so they pick out two fingers, but we only count that as one. So Gemara, this is V'hatani. The Baraita teaches us that Achas Motzin, Shtayim Ein Motzin. You're only allowed to stick out one finger. Two, you're not allowed to stick out. But Med V'amemur, when it's true, this Baraita is a support. Bibari, when it's talking about a healthy person who's able to stick out just one finger. Aval Bechola, if a person's ill, weak, he's not strong enough to put out just one finger, Afilu Shtayim Motzin, he can stick out both fingers if they both move together. Aval Yechidim, Yechidim Rashi explains here, and the individuals who are Chola, who are ill, Motzin Shtayim, they're allowed to stick out two fingers. Vein Monin Lo El Achas, but we only count it as one finger. Vein Monin, the Gemara that says, Vein Monin Lo El Achas, is it really true? When a coin sticks out two fingers, we only count it as one? Vatana, does the Baraita says that we can say that we count it as two? The Tanya, the Brayis of Hatanya, Ein Motzin Lo Shlish Lo Godel. When it comes to sticking out fingers, you don't stick out the Shlish, which is the third finger, which is the middle finger, according to Rashi. Nor do you stick out the thumb. You don't stick out either one of those. Mipnei Ramon, because they play tricks. I mentioned yesterday they stick out two fingers and give the impression as if they're two different Kohanim. Vimhotzi Shlish, if he sticks out the middle finger, Monin Lo, we count the middle finger. Godel Ein Monin Lo. He sticks out the thumb. He doesn't count the thumb. V'lo, oh, not only that, and if he does stick out his thumb, we actually whip him. We whip him with a bekia. We'll see what a bekia is in just a moment. So my monolo, when it says we count the middle finger, doesn't mean we count the middle finger as a separate count from the pointer. What it means is monolo nami achas. When a guy sticks out both fingers, we count them all as one, not as two fingers. So that is consistent. So what exactly my bekia? We said we hit the guy who sticks out his thumb. What's a bekia we hit him with? Amrav madra. So my madra, what's a madra? Amira Papa Mitarka Detaya. Rashi explains it's referring to a little straps, a whip used by the Yishma'elim. They would hit their horses to move faster. And the Pasuk Resha, where they split the end of it, where if you look at Rashi halfway down says the Pasuk Resha, Lechach Kruya Bekia. For this reason it's called Bekia, because She'enu Rachva Berosha. It's not a hole at the end of the whip. Rather Kisharitzus Malkos, like other types of whips. Ella Mafsekis Barosha, they kind of split it at the end of the whip. Liritsuos Dakos, the small little strings at the end. Kadeshi Yargis Basis Yosef, so there's more of an impact when they hit the horse. Who Pekia Lashon Pisuk Vesadakim. Pekia means to have cracks and strips. So that's how they had the leather strip, and they whipped the guy, the Kohen, for sticking out his thumb. So then Amar Abai says Meresha. Initially, Hava Mina, I understood this mission in Mesech HaShkalim, Hoditznan Ben Bibai, Mimuna Al Pekir. This guy, Ben Bibai, was in charge of the Pekir. What is Pekir? Initially, he thought Amina Psilta, it was referring to the wicks that were used in the Simchas Beis Shoeva. Kedetan, the mission tells us, Mivloi Michnasi HaKohanim. The worn-out pants of the Kohanim, what would they do with the worn-out pants that couldn't be used anymore? Mehaimin and Mehen, Hayumafkin. They would make wicks out of them. And Rashi explained, they would use it to light the fire for the Simchas Beis Shoeva. The Gemara is still going to talk about it. They had these big fires in the Simchas Beis Shoeva to light up the night. And it was so strong that the women in the house in Yerushalayim were able to use the light to knead their dough. Either way, these were little wicks that were used for the Simchas Beis Shoeva. So initially, Abai thought that what was his job? Ben Biboy, Mamun al-Pakiyah, was in charge of these wicks, the Simchas Beis Shoeva. That's what he initially had thought. However, came into Shimon Elaha, the Tana, now that he heard this brisa, that the key is referring to the whips, that they whip the coin for sticking out his thumb, now I understand there must be he's in charge of these whips. Although, oh, not only that, Ella Shalokim Yamamuna Bapkia, Amina my Pekia, Nagda. Pekia means Rashi Ritzus Malkus, he gets whipped. So now it seems like he changes the understanding of that he was in charge of these whips that were used in the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara now says, Maisa Shayushneim Shavin Viratzin Ve'olim Bekevesh. We had this Maisa in the Mishnah, that two people were racing up the ramp, and it was a close call. One Kohen shoved off the other Kohen from the ramp, and he fell down and broke his leg. So Gemara quotes another Maisa, Tani Rabbanan. Maisa b'shnei kohanim shayushneim rushavin v'ratzin v'olum bekevesh. He had two fast kohanim. They're running really quickly up the ramp. Echad mehem l'toch arba amos. One guy kidem echad mehem l'toch arba amos. One guy got in front of the other guy within the last al amos shel chavero. And notel sakin v'takel l'bibliba. He took out a knife and stabbed him in the heart. Amad Rabbi Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok stood amalas ha'ulam on the stairways. To the Ulam, Bamar, he says, Achenu Beis Yisrael, our dear brothers, Shimu, listen, Harehu Omer, it says in the Pasuk by the Egla Rufa, Ki Mate Chala Ba'adamu, when you find the dead corpse on the ground, V'yatu Zekenecha V'shavtecha, the judges, the elders, go out, Anu Almi Lavi Egla Rufa, who are we going to bring Egla Rufa on? Al-Ha'ir in the city, or Al-Hazaras, those who are in the Hazaras? So that's what he started saying. We'll see exactly what the Shaykhas is to Egla Rufa, because Egla Rufa is only when you don't know who killed him. Here, you clearly know who murdered him. So either way, Geu Kol Abi B'chia, the whole nation started to cry. Bo Aviv Shaltinok, the child, the young boy who was stabbed, his father came running in. Umatsu Kishu Mefarfer, he was still breathing, his last breaths. And Amar, he says to the people, Harehi Kibaraskam, his death should be a kapar for all of us. V'adayin B'ni Mefarfer, my son is still breathing a little bit. V'lo Netame Sakin, he didn't Matame the knife. So he was, let's save, he says, L'lamedcha, to teach us, he wasn't disturbed that his own son was murdered. He was concerned that maybe the knife will get tame. But since the son's alive, the sakin still tare. Don't worry. That's what he was thinking about. Very strange thing. It says in the pasuk further, they spilled so much innocent blood that the from mouth to mouth, from gate to gate of Yerushalayim was full of blood, of innocent blood spilled. So this was the Maisa. We'll get a little bit more about the Maisa of the murder, Egla Rufa. But either way, there's two different events. One instance, Kohen was killed. Another instance, a Kohen broke his leg. So ask the Gemara, hey, Maisa called them. Which Maisa happened first, the breaking of the leg or the murder? Elam, if you're going to tell me the Shvichas Damim, if the murder took place first, Tahasha, Shvichas Damim, Lotakinu, Paisa. If after the event, where one Kohen stabbed the other Kohen, and they didn't establish a pious after murder, so when the second thing happened, oh, now that the guy broke the leg, let's now establish payasas, doesn't make any sense. So it must be the reverse. El Dinishwar Raglo Kadam. First, the mice of the Kohen who was pushed off, he broke his leg. Okay, it broke his leg, but wasn't that dangerous. So they were not misaking payasas. But the Kaven Datakina Payasa, sorry. So now the other way around, I'm sorry. El Dinishwar Raglo Kadam. First, they made Dinishwar Raglo, he broke his leg. And they were metaking the pious. Became the takina pious, asks the Gemara. Arba amos maya vidasayu. So if the first event of the breaking of the regal happened, and then after that event, then they had the pious. So now, how could it be another situation where they had another race up the ramp, and they got into a fight, and they stabbed the guy? It must be that can't be the first one either. So it's unclear which one happened first. Was it the breaking of the leg that caused them to create the payasos? Or was it the murder that created the payasos? And the Gemara says, El Leon, really what happened, the order of events was as follows. The Shvichas Damim, Kadim, first the event of one Kohen stabbing the other Kohen, that happened first. Umeikar Savar, initially when they saw this event, it was a crazy event, Kriba Amo, this was just a crazy case, don't bring any rise, this is a one nutty Kohen, and that's not going to ever happen again, they didn't feel compelled to make a Takana. But Kevin the Chazi, once they saw that Afil Memela Asli De Sakana, that they got very close and one guy seemed to accidentally may push off the other guy from the ramp, they said, wait a second, this is getting a little too far here. And then finally, Takini Rabbanan Pius. And then they instituted the requirement of a pious for the Chumas Hadesh. Gemara now says, last few lines of the page here. So we had that Maisa, that Amr Rabbi Tzadok, Amalas Ha'ulam, that he stood on the stairs of the Ulam, Vamar, he says, Achenu Beis Yisrael, Shamu, Hare, Huomer, Vechula, Ki, Matze, Chala, Ba'adama, Hanan, Almi, Lavi, Al-Ha'ir, who's going to bring the Egla Rufa, the city, or Al-Hazaros? So asks the Gemara, wait a second, how could he even contend that the Yushalayim should bring the Egla Rufa? We have a klal, the Yushalayim, Basa, Suya, Egla Rufa, is Yushalayim subject to bring an Egla Rufa? If there's a dead body, they don't know who killed him, whose responsibility it was, they don't bring an Egla Rufa in Yushalayim. Why not? How do we know this? Vatani, the Bar Yitzchak says that Asar Devarim Nemru B'Yushlaim V'Zu Achas Mehem. There are 10 different matters said about Yushlaim. They're all listed in the Gemara's in Baba Kama, Perek Meruba. And one of them is that Ega Rufa cannot take place in Yushlaim. Going on to Amud Beis now, Eina Mevia Egla Rufa. Now the reason why there's no Egla Rufa brought in Yushlaim, if you look at the top Rashi in Amud Beis here, he says, Eino Mevia Egla Rufa Dichsiv Kimate Chala Ba'adama V'Gomer. Lirisha says the pasuk that in terms of a Yerusha, Vein Yushlaim Yerusha. Yushlaim is not called the Yerusha, the Kasavar Lo Nischalko L'Shvatim. We had a machok, as we saw earlier, that was Yushlaim divided amongst the Shvatim? Was it given to Yehuda and Binyamin? They split parts of Yushlaim? Or no, it was no man's land. Nobody owned it. It was free territory for everybody. It wasn't anyone's. So this Mount Damar holds, it was not Lo Nischalko L'Shvatim. And if it was not Nischalko L'Shvatim, it was not considered Yerusha. It would not therefore be subject to Egla Rufa. So how could Reb Tzadok say, oh, who's going to bring the Egla Rufa? This is Yushalayim. There's no Egla Rufa in Yushalayim. So Gemara says, but moreover, lo nada mi had kauksiv. It says, by the Egla Rufa, you only bring an Egla Rufa if you don't know who the murderer is. But ha nada mi hako. Here everybody knew, everyone saw who was the Rotzeach. So what's the Shaykh to bring Egla Rufa? So Ella, so the Gemara explains, he wasn't really talking about the din of Egla Rufa. Ella, kidei laharbos bebechir. He was just describing the psukim to bring about some tears that people should cry. But he didn't really mean halachically there's a din of egla rufa. So he says, kidei laharbos bebechir, ba'aviv shatinok. Then the child's father came. Umatzo kushim mefarfer. He was still breathing his last breaths. And amar harei kiparaschem. This is our kapara. Vadaim benikayim. L'lamencha shekasha lem taros kelim yosem mishvich hazam. So that was the ma'isa again, that they were more concerned with the tara of the kelim of the sakin than murder. So the Gemara wants to know this unfortunate contrast between their perspective of Taras Kalim versus Shvichas Damim. They wanted to know, this is the following Chakir the Gemara asks. Ibailu, Shvichas Damim hu dizal? Is it because they really cared very little about Shvichas Damim? It wasn't much in their eyes about Taras Kalim kedekayim mekayim? And the perspective, the value of Taras Kalim in their mind was considered normal, that was par, but their understanding of Shvichas Damim was unfortunately very low. Oh, Dilma, perhaps Shvichas Damim Kedekayim Mekayim. Maybe they had the proper perspective. Their value of the Shvichas Damim was on par. However, about Taras Kalim, he the Chamir, but they're very, very stringent about Taras Kalim. So that's the Chakir the Gemara wants to know. Clearly, Taras Kalim is more important than Shvichas Damim, but is it because Shvichas Damim was so insignificant to them, or was it because Taras Kalim was so important to them? So Gemara brings the Raya Tashma, Midekon Nasiv Le Tamuda. The fact that the Gemara brings a pasuk, v'gam dam naki shafach Menashe, that times of Menashe had spilled innocent blood filling the gates of Yerushalayim, shmamina shvichas damim hu dezil, must be that shvichas damim was very insignificant, unfortunately, in their eyes. The Taras Kalim k'dekayim k'ayimi, and the perspective of Taras Kalim was on par where it should have been. The Gemara now quotes further in a braisa, a bit of a different topic now. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanu. Ufashet v'lavash begadim acher, and the pasuk says v'hotzi es hadeshen. When it comes to Trumas Hadeshen, it describes that it's the beginning of Vayikra, that he removes his clothing and then he wears other clothes, begadim acher, and then he goes on to take out v'hotzi es hadeshen el mechutz l'machaneh el mekom tar. The pasuk says he takes out the ashes outside. So Gemara says, what's the new begadim that he's wearing for the Trumas Hadeshen? Shemani, I hear you, I understand. Kederach yimakipurim sheposhet bigdei kodesh v'lovesh bigdei chol, just like at the end of the Avodah Yom Kippurim, the last thing the Kohen Gadol does, he removes his Bigdei Kodesh, and he dons the Bigdei Chol. So Tam Lomer, Ufashet is Bigadav, V'lavash Bigadim Acherim. By this case, it's different, however. Here we have a connection between the removing of the clothing and the wearing of the clothing. Makish Bigadim Shelovish, the Bigadim Sheposhet. Malahalon Bigdei Kodesh, just like the clothing that the Kohen Gadol is removing here, to do Trumas Hadeshen, is removing the Bigdei Kodesh. Avkan Bigdei Kodesh, so too he's going to put on new Bigdei Kodesh, meaning it's different than by Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, he takes off Bigdei Kodesh and picks off Bigdei Chol, and he walks home. Here, he's putting on other Bigdei Kodesh. Zim Kain, Matam Lomer Achem. Why do we call these other Bigdei as Achem, as other? Other sounds like they're foreign clothing. So why are these changing clothing? What's the reason from Bigdei Kodesh to Bigdei Kodesh? So Gemara says, can I understand Yom Kippur when the Kohen Gadol changes from Bigdei Zav, Bigdei Lavan, that space in the Pesukim? But here, what's the clothing in the Kohen Gadol changing from Bigdei Kodesh to Bigdei Kodesh Acher? So Gemara says, P'chusa Mehem, he's putting on more inferior clothing, lesser clothing. Why is that? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says around halfway down the lines, Tam Olomer, Begadav, Begadav, Matam Olomer, Acher, P'chusa Mehem. Kugon shachim or mefashin shena mutzav. It's dirty, or they're not as shiny as it anymore. Vein the moment you carve, they're not as expensive, as valuable. She'efer malachlacham kishenose chutz lemachne. The ashes are dirty. His clothing as he schleps the ashes outside. The gnai lemelach shei mishamish ben almasbeach b'avodas achila. It's inappropriate for a kohen gadol to wear dirty clothing when he's serving a kadosh baruch Hu, the king. So therefore, he changes to more inferior clothing when he takes out the garbage, if you will. Rabbi Eliezer, back in the Gemara, says, Omer, Acherim, Votzi, Limid, Alakwan, Bali, Mumim, Shekshayrim, Votzi, Hadeshim. The Acherim is not going on the clothing, it's going on the individual, the people. Rashi says, Acherim, Votzi, Limid, Alakwan, Bali, Mumim, Hai, Acherim, a Kohen, referring to the Kohen, that although the Bali Mum cannot do any other Avoda, this step, they're allowed to participate. Klomar, Kohanim, Shein, Acherim, Ruchokin, Mishar, Avodos, Shem Lavoda. Those Kohanim are others who are distant from other Avodas may participate in this Avoda, namely the Chumash Hadeshin. So that's the Machlokas, whether Chayim is referring to other clothing or other people. So the Gemara then says, Amar Mar, Acherim Chusamehem. We just said that according to the first man, the Amar, they wear inferior clothing. Acherim Chusamehem. Kedatana de Bei Rabbi Yishmael, Detana de Bei Rabbi Yishmael, Begodim Shebishel ben Kederi Lerabo, Ayimzok ben Kos Lerabo. The clothing with which you cook, the apron that the chef wears, should not be the same apron or clothing he wears when serving the king. That's why they had separate clothing for taking out the garbage, if you will, the ashes that gets dirty, and separate clothing when he actually served the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This interesting taz, he brings a raya, at least a dugma, an example from this Gemara. The Gemara that the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Chaf Aleph and Or HaChaim, that person is allowed to wear a talis in the base kisa. You can wear a talis because there's no iser, there's no tashmishe kedusha when it comes to a talis. Tefillin and sfarim and mezuzahs, so those are Kedusha, that you cannot bring into a bathroom. But a talis, you're allowed to, because a talis is only called tashmishei mitzvah. But that being said, the Taz says, but if it's a talis hagadol, that's miyuchad, the tefillah, it would be a bizayon to bring it into the bathroom. Tittis that you wear all day long, that's like your clothing, that's like a shirt, it's like an undershirt, that you could certainly wear into the beis hakiseh. But that which is designated just for davening, that's not allowed because that's considered a bizayon. He brings a dugma from here as well. The same clothing one wears taking out the ashes should not be worn when doing the avoda. So when a person goes into the bathroom, he should not be wearing the talis that he wears when standing in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu davening. He says, same is true of a kittel. A kittel is lesser level than a talis. There's no mitzvah at all with a kittel. It's a minhag. But nonetheless, since it's only worn, other than, I guess, Leil Seder, but that's what to talk about. But since it's typically worn only for davening, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, those who wear Rosh Hashanah, so it should not be brought into the bathroom because the same idea, it's a bizayon, it's disgraceful to bring such a clothing inside. I once asked Rav Nevinsel, what about a black hat? People wear hats to daven sometimes. So he found that since people wear hats outside as well during the streets when they walk around, that's not considered miyuchar litvila. So he felt that there's no problem to wear a black hat in the bathroom. But the Gemara now says further halfway down the Amud here, Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Ki machlokes v'otza kach machlokes b'harama. Reish Lakish felt just like this whole discussion, by the way, about removing the clothing, changing clothing, was referring to taking it outside to the machne. There are two steps in Chumash Hadeshin. One was removing it from the top of the Mizbeach and bring it down. That's stage one, that's Harama. And the other one was Hotzah, taking it outside. So the discussion above the Machlokes above is referring to the Hotzah, taking it outside. But what about the Harama, scooping up the ashes from the Mizbeach, bringing it down to the floor? What's that? So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish felt, just like the Machlokes by Hotzah, whether Bali Mumim could wear it, which is referring to the clothing, so too the Machlokes exists by the Harama as well. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, this whole machlokes is machlokes about tsa only, by removing it to the outside, taking it to the machane outside. Aval baharama, divriya kol avodi, but to take it off the mizbech, that's an avoda. No one would ever suggest that a baal mum should do the avoda. So Rabbi Yochanan argues with Reish Lakish and says that there is no machlokes by harama, it's certainly an avoda. So my time with Reish Lakish, why do Reish Lakish think the machlokes existed also by harama? So he explains that Amr Lacha Yitzhak Adaitach Avodah, if you felt that it was an Avodah, the Chumash Hadeshin was really an Avodah, Yeish Lacha Avodah, Shekshay Rishne Kalim. Is there any such Avodah that you only wear two articles of clothing? We know that a Kohen Gadol wears four clothing, and every Avodah must have all four pieces of clothing. So, but it comes in the Chumash Hadeshin, the Pasuk actually tells us he only wears two clothing. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Shekshay Rishne Kalim, V'hacha Midovad Michse Vad Hu Dichsiv. It only says he wears a shirt. And he wears pants by the Chumash Hadeshin, by the Harama. It doesn't say wearing the Avnet, it doesn't say wearing the Mitznefes, there's no hat, there's no belt. So if the Pasuk says that Harama, Chumash Hadeshin itself, can only be done wearing two clothing, clearly it's not an Avodah. That's Reish Lakish's Raya. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan responds back, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Gali Rachmana B'Ksones U'Michnasayim. The Torah only revealed to us that you wear the Ksones, the shirt, and you wear the Michnasayim, the pants. But Behu Adin L'Mitznefes V'Avni, but it also was referring to, even though it didn't mention this, but it also had in mind that one should wear the belt and the hat as well. So the Gemara then says, Maishna Hani Midevad, Midevad. So what does it mean, Midevad, that it should be like the bad is a Mido, is a the Mido measurement. Mido kibidaso michnasevad. The pants should fit a person. It should be sized to you. It should be tailored to you. Lichnatani, the pasuk says, minayin shelo yedavar kodlum lichnasayim. How do you know that nothing should be put on until you put the pants on? I mean, the pants are the first thing that the kohen wears. Shenemar says michnasevad yibasha b'sar. It should go directly on the clothing. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, maishna honey denaket. Why do they only mention these? Me'acha shetzichin kulin. Since you need all four articles of clothing, why did the Torah only single out the pants and the shirt? Lishtok minayil, just be quiet. Vani Adana, I would have known. Once it said that the coin does the Chumatadeshan, Memeda, we know the coin wears all four. So why does the Torah single out these two? So the Gemara answers, Rashi quotes, Mido kimidaso. Kan lemetcha, this teaches us, Sheye ksones koanim lemidas komaso. That the shirt should fit him, it should be sized properly. Lo nigraros, it shouldn't drag. Lo mislokas, it shouldn't be too short. Vahachi amin mizvachim, it has to be fit on his body. Yilbasha al-Basar says, Rashi, Mashba Shalovish Be'oda Aram, he has to be completely undressed, completely naked, nothing underneath it, wearing the pants directly onto his body. She'ein alav el-Basaro, Dilo Temahachi al-Basaro l'may kasva. Either way, we learn from the words al-Basaro, that has to be directly on his body. There cannot be any chatzitz or nothing else there. Reish Lakish, Mido, Kimidasa Midafke Rachman of Lashon Mido, Shelo Yehei Davar Kodem L'Chasayim Me'al-Basaro Nafka. So he learns the Midah Kibidasko, the fact that the Pasuk uses this word of Al-Basaro, he's able to learn these two drashas. Meaning, look at Rashi. Rashi explains here that Reish Lakish Damar Dafka Ksavinu Lememra Deino Tzicha Arba. Reish Lakish felt that these two articles of clothing were singled out. So if they're singled out, you don't wear the other two clothing. So how did you learn the drashas of the Midaso, the tailoring? How did you learn the drasha that has to go directly on your body? So Nafkale Hanach Tarti Drasha, he learns these two drashas, Miloshin Hamika. Shishina Bilashona changed the language. Shlok Siva Ksonis doesn't say Ksonis, the Memra Midok Midaso. The fact that it calls it Midovad, referring to the Ksonis, tells us it has to be tailored properly. And Shelo Yakdim Davar LeMichnasayim, nothing else should go beforehand. Me'Al-Basaro Yisera Nafka. There's an extra phrase Al-Basaro to teach us those two dinim. So he agrees to the dinim Al-Basaro and the Mida. He just argues how many articles of clothing does he wear? Does he wear only two clothing, two particles, or does he wear all four? And that's going to indicate whether it's a real avoda or not a real avoda, and whether Baal Mum could do it or not do it. Look at Tosis quickly, and we'll stop with this Tosos. Tosis writes, Minayin Shelo Yehei Davar Kodem. Nothing else should be beforehand. We already know this by the Kohen Gadol. Why is there a separate drasha to teach me the Kohen Hedot? It's the same din. So the Gemara Tosfos answers, we have to teach the same din by Kohen Hedot as well. We cannot learn from one another. Because there's so many differences between the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedot. For that reason, they have to have a separate drasha to teach me these dinim that the Michasim goes directly al Bisaro. So let's quickly recap. We finished off yesterday's daf talking about how Shaul was punished because he was mochel on his kavod. He can't be mochel on the kavod. We spoke about a Talmud Chacham who should have nekama and nekima netira for his own kavod. Nekama and netira is only usher by mamon, but not by a person's own kavod, the kavod of the Torah. And then we said that a person wants mechila, certainly he should be mochel b'davar. We discussed the one and two fingers. One finger is when a person is strong enough. Two is when a person can't stick out both fingers. A person should not stick out a middle finger or a thumb. If he sticks out the thumb, he's going to be whipped with that whip we described. And that was the role of Ben Bibai, who was Mamuna al-Pakiyah, who was in charge of the whips. We discussed the other mice, not only the Kohen falling off, breaking his leg, but the other Kohen who was murdered. And we described the event that they thought the murder was a one-time event. Once they saw the other guy broke his leg, they established that we have to have a pious. And then we discussed how there's no Egla Rufa in Yerushalayim, and the only reason why I described Egla Rufa was simply to bring about people's tears. And then the Gemara raised the question, was Shvichas Damim very insignificant, or were they very machmir on Taras Kalim? And they concluded, no, they were very, that murder was very insignificant, and Taras Kalim was simply at par. And then we described the Machlokas about the clothing that they removed for Hotas Adeshin. They took out, they wore either Pchusim clothing, inferior clothing, or the Baal Mum were allowed to be involved in that, the Avoda of Hotas Kalim, and then Machlokas, Reish Lakish, Reb Yochanan, whether that was also Machlokas by Chum Sadeshin, or, as Reb Yochanan said, it was actually an Avoda, and a Baal Mum would not be able to participate in the Avoda of Chumas Hadeshin. Okay, we'll stop here. Hashem, we will pick up tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.